So the Mishnah begins Megillah Nikreis B'Yad'Alef B'Yad Beis B'Yad Gimel B'Yad'Alef B'Tetzel. So the Mishnah says that the Megillah is read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. And before you get any further, you realize how many indicators there are in the phrasing here. Or, if they're not indicators of new information, but they serve as bracketing for existing information. So, for example, we start out by saying Megillah. What Megillah? Why? There's five Megillahs. So, Alice, the Reddit, there's all kinds of Megillahs. So, what Megillah are you talking about? There's no effort to clarify that. So, they're bringing in this word Megillah as an assumed word. Megillah. No clarification. All right. So, and then it says Nikreis. So, Nikreis is a word that means read. It's used for reading. But the problem is that it's a very unusual, it's really a word that has two parallel meanings, and the question is the relationship between the two meanings. Because the word Kriya means reading. The word Kriya also means calling out, announcing. So here you have, it's the same word, but it means reading and it means announcing. Those meanings related to each other. And then when you use that as a verb, you're saying there's something going on with the Megillah, which it's some kind of responsibility. It turns out it's a mitzvah, maybe a mitzvah or a monomyth. There's some responsibility to read a Megillah. And then, but it says Nikreis. Does that mean to be read? Does it mean to be announced? Does it mean both in some way? And how do the two interact with each other? For example, when we read the Torah on Shabbos, so that's called Kriyas Sefer, the reading of the Torah. But then one of the five books of the Torah is called Vayikra, which is that God called to Moshe, not to do his reading. So it's kind of an interesting built-in paradox here that there's a mitzvah called Kriyas HaTorah, which is reading the five books. One of them is called Vayikra, and the word Vayikra doesn't mean the same thing as the Kriya and Kriyas HaTorah. Right? So it seems like they're kind of, banging you over the head, saying this, do you notice? We're calling it Kriyas HaTorah, and you're reading Vayikra, and Vayikra means called, and Kriya means read. There must be a relationship here. It seems like, they're kind of like pushing you to spot a relationship. Okay, and that's true in general of the word Kriya. Now we're capturing it here in reference to the Megillah. The Megillah, which Megillah? There's five Megillahs, but apparently we get the Megillah. Everyone knows what Megillah we're talking about. Why? I don't know, but we do. Okay, and so what you do with it is this Nikreis. Now, you notice if you began learning Talmud, Gemara in Brachas at the beginning, they're also using the same verb, but they're using a different form, because it says may even say Koran es Hashma. From when you read it, they don't say when. From when is it Nikreis? When is it read? They say when do you read it? Maybe it's because it's more of an individual observance, and the Megillah is more of a communal observance. Most people are listening to it being read. Maybe that's part of it. But what's interesting, so these are phrases that we know. And the more we know, remember, the author knows that we know those things. That goes into the authorship. So they were aware that we know that there's different meanings to Kriya, and yet that's the word he chooses. Okay, so it's being read, but we're using a language that also means being announced. Being called out, which is interesting. And so he says, when is it? The 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th? Of what month? Doesn't say. So that's, again, is the pattern here where he's making certain assumptions and he's leaving it in the area of assumption. And he always has a choice to use words. All he has to do is throw in Bahadur, it's one word. Ramat Bahadur. Chose not to do it. Now, you find the same choice or a similar choice in the beginning of Pesachim, which is about Pesach, all the laws of Pesach, and it starts by saying, then the night of the 14th, you search for the chametz, leavened bread, things like that. And so, but they also don't tell you which month. It's kind of, so these are interesting choices as a writer. You know, why, you know, what is he trying to bring out by not telling you when it is? He's presenting it as familiar. So the reader is expected to know which Megillah, and which month. Doesn't even tell you any of this material. And now that Rashi doesn't have to be that either. You know, he doesn't say Megillah Sesta. He doesn't say, you know, Svazer. These are all very interesting choices that are being made here from a literary perspective in presentation. So, and then it says, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and 15th, it's written in a manner which you could very well understand it to be that you read it all 5 days. That's the plan. Every day you get up for 5 days, read the Megillah. There's nothing in the language that tells you otherwise. And then it goes on and says, not less and not more. That still allows for the reading that you're reading all 5 days. And this is also an odd choice because, by the way, I don't know, we'll see whether I have time to answer everything here, but I'm on the educational side of the reading is its own value. I mean, if I don't answer any of it, then you're like, maybe this is all leading nowhere. But I can answer at least some of it. But the lessons in terms of approach, I think, go beyond the answers I'm going to give today. So, lo pachas v'le'yoseh, not less and not more. Now, not less and not more is probably the least effective way of saying it between three Hebrew phrases that, and the other two are both used in Mishnayos. It's not like I'm bringing you colloquial phrases that are not in Mishnayos. In Mishnayos, because you have in Mishnayos and other places where it says Lefano v'la'akrov, that language is talked about in the Gemara and Megillah Sinus and Rosh Hashanah, but it's a commonly used to say lo lefano, not before that, lo la'akrov, not after that. To say not less and not more, that's very odd language. That's language usually used for quantity and volume. You say, 11 pounds, 12 pounds, 13 pounds, 14 pounds, 15 pounds, not less and not more. You don't usually say it on a date. So it's odd, it's an odd choice to use this on a date. So again, we have a commonly used phrase, lo lefano v'lo la'akrov, not before that and not afterwards. And there's also a phrase, and they're actually going to use it a little bit later in a later Mishnah, something like it, that's sometimes used in Mishnayos, which is ein makdim in ve'ein ma'achrim. You don't anticipate by going ahead of this time, and you don't delay by going after this time. So these are, and those have verbs in them. Makdimin Amachron has a verb, Lefanim Alachron is an adjective. But there's ways of dealing with this that are more direct. So to say not less and not more is a very odd choice. Okay. And again, as I said, I'm not promising to answer everything in the time allotted, but I think we'll get it. At least a good degree of perspective. But so right away, the Mishnah is sending us, frantic signals, like, the prisoner. My father walked into a store one time, and he brought a few items to the counter, and there was a girl behind the counter. And she started announcing all the wrong prices. It said on the $1.19, but she made everything less. She goes, 69 cents. It said, $2. She says, $1.50. And she's calling his attention, like, what is going on? And then at the end, she slips him a note saying, I'm kidnapped, call the police. So, and my father, he called the police, but he didn't he was afraid to wait around and watch the whole encounter, so he kind of stood 2 blocks away. He didn't know exactly how it played out. But it's a classic moment. In other words, if you're trapped and you're trying to get the message out, you know, how can you do it in a seemingly normal environment? So the truth of the mission is it's trapped, you know, it's just trying to get out. It's sending you a little signal. So we're trying to pick up on the nuances. Okay. But so along comes Rashi and says, Megillah Nikreis B'Yud-Aleph V'chul. Rashi says, to translate it very accurately into English, the Megillah is read on the 11th, etc. The B'chul is etc. Which is, so it's really a whole list here, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, if he's, you know, doesn't want to have to spell them all out. You know, maybe you could say one. But so what he does is he says one and then he goes, etc. That's an interesting choice. Why is he bringing up that? So he says, Pa'amim b'zeh, u'pa'amim b'zeh. So now I think this already gives you a little bit of an answer why he did that. Because when you read the Mishnah by itself, you could have read that you have to read it all 5 days. It's a 5 day, you know, festival, and every day the whole crowd comes to the town square and they read the proclamation over. You know, it could have been read that way. So Rashi says, "Bi'ulos b'chul, 11th, etc." In other words, each one of these is a unit. It's not a 5 day segment. Each one is a unit. So he says sometimes this day, sometimes on that. Okay. So that we see what he's accomplishing there. Very useful in fairly limited language. And then he says, "Will come on," and later, "Mefarish v'ozim." The Mishnah will go on and explain. So, "Mefarish" means explain. "V'ozim" means and continue on his way, because so he's letting you know it's really in the same Mishnah that this is happening. It's part of a process that he's unrolling this the information. "V'ozim" is going. So the problem is, and here already you need of the. I'm trying to avoid this year to use information from other sources, you know, as trying to localize as much as possible to work on the derivation from this text itself. But the fact is that at the end of in the Gemara, at the end of Brachos, if in the back, there's a thing called Klali Rashi, rules of Rashi, and it's attributed to the author of the Knesset HaGdolos, and maybe from the 1600s. Rashi was written in the thousands. He lived in 1035 to 1105, something like that. So this book is, let's say, written in the 1600s. But he has a series of rules of how to read Rashi, like certain stylistic things that Rashi built in, structural things. So one of them is, he says over there, it is useful to go through that list, you know, because it's helpful. But the truth is, there's only a few that I really latched on to and I work with a lot. Maybe I would gain more if I really incorporated all of them. But there's a few that I really latched on to because they come back again and again. And one of them is this thing, which that he says a rule, because the word l'kamon, meaning ahead of, and the word l'kamei, meaning, l'kamon means ahead of us. The Kamei means ahead of him, the author. So sometimes Rashi says the Kamei, that he's going to explain later, and sometimes he says the Kamon, ahead of us, we'll find the explanation. So why does he choose sometimes to do that, sometimes to do this? So the author brings this rule, that the Kamei means it's close, and the Kamon means it's far. So right away you have a huge problem here, because if the Kamon means it's far, it's not far, it's the next line, basically. If it introduces 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, then it goes to immediately explains to you how that happened. So it's not far at all, it's the next line. In fact, it's even a kasha if he said the kamei, it's almost like, what does he need it for? It's the next line. But okay, but his point is that he gives you a heading and then he elaborates. Okay, so we can live with it if it's in the Kamei. But it's in the Kamon means later, usually means after quite a bit of material in between. And here, it's the next line. and he tells you to come on. So I introduced an innovation some years ago, and I think also a friend of mine, who I haven't seen in many years, but a big scholar named Rabbi Elazar Langdon, who I think arrived at this independently, at the same conclusion, that even though it says in the rules that Kaman means with a gap, but the gap doesn't have to necessarily be in space. The gap could be in that it could be very close in space, maybe a line or two later, but that there's a kind of a switch in perspective that happens between now and then. So he's alerting you that our attitude, our angle is going to shift a little bit between now and then. But here we're in the middle of the Mishnah. So, but yet he says, well, come on. And it's the next thing. So what's going on? So then he says, like pachas v'leyoyser, not less than amor. He says, like pachas miyuralef v'leyoyser mitesvot. He says, not less than 11, and not more than 15. And again, I don't know if I'm going to get back to answer this or not, but it is a little odd to say, because he's falling right into this, the odd language. We said, why did the Mishnah not say, not before, not after, or you don't go earlier, you don't go later? Instead it said, not less and not more, when it's really not a quantity issue, right? That was the question we asked on the Mishnah. And Rashi not really helping us. He says, not less than 11, not more than 15. In the language, it doesn't even necessarily, when you read it, it doesn't even necessarily mean the 11th. In English, you get the TH in there. At least you know, I mean, it's not before the 11th, not after the 15th. In this language, it's not less than 11, not more than 15. So it's not really helping too much. But, okay, so then, he says like this. So let's read the Mishnah further. Back to the Mishnah. So we managed to read, as I said, 11 words, and we're thoroughly confused already. We don't know what Megillah, what month, what exactly Nicholas means, why we're talking in terms of volume. We're really in a funk over here. We only did a few words. And then Rashi says, don't worry, I'll explain it much later. Much later? Okay, they explain it right now. So the Mishnah says this all. Karachin ha-mukaf ha-chayim ha-mimayis Yeshua b'nun. Karim b'tesvah. That when you have large cities that are fortified by fences, they're surrounded by fences, and the fences were in place from the time of Yeshua, of Joshua, who brought the Jews in and settled them in the land of Israel. Mimayis Yeshua b'nun, from the time of Yeshua. Karim b'tesvah. So they read on the 15th day. So right away we were like, oh, wait a second. So we're going backwards. We started going forward, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now we're going backwards. So we say that the walled cities, they read on the 15th. What does it mean walled? It means it used to be walled. It was walled at a certain date. So there may be cities now that are no longer walled, but they were walled at that time, so they have this wall. There may be cities now that do have walls, but the walls are built later, so they do not have this wall. A little bit of a confusing law to enforce, because you have to have a list of exactly what was walled in the time of Joshua and all that sort of thing. So that's the 15th. Kfarim by Yoros Gedolah is small towns and big cities. Karim B'Yadal, they read on the 14th. Ella, except Shakfarim Magdim Liamakri, except that the small towns are able to come earlier on the day that's typically the day they come into town. It doesn't give you any indication in the text of what that is, the day they come into town. So in that, Rashi is going to explain the background of that, that when you live in the small town, you come to the big town on certain days, big city. You can't come every day. And you can't never come because there's certain products you don't have access to living in a small town. So there's certain days that they come, and Rashi's going to tell us in a minute what those days are. But before I get to Rashi, I want to establish, and maybe you claim that, no, you're sticking the rabbit in the hat. Who says you're right? But I think that before you learn the Rashi, this is the simple read. And the Rashi, for some reason, is going away from the simple reading. So I want us to be prepared. So I think the simple reading is that you say, listen, the Megillah is read the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, which needs a little clarification. And Rashi helped us with that. In one of those days, you read it once, but in one of those 5 days, and you can't do it any early, you can't do it any later, fine. And then we'll explain to you that it doesn't mean that anyone can choose any of the 5 days, but it means that there's a schedule. Sometimes it depends on who you are, where you are, when you are. Okay, and there we go. And we go backwards. That's not so terrible, because sometimes there's a thing, you know, am I the sign plus us, that sometimes you go on it's a long list. You got to the end, so then you start back when you go back. That linguistically, literarily, poetically, is not intolerable. We're not yet feeling threatened. So you could very well read it like this. Okay, the 15th are the walled cities, the 14th are these other cities. But this is what I would call a soft but. Because you got 13, 14, then you go, but the people from the really small cities are allowed to go to bigger cities. They go there during the week, certain days, so they can do it on the day they come earlier, and then they're going to go through the list. If Monday is a day before, 2 days before, 3 days before. So the Ella sounds like it's a soft but. It's like, well, of course we know that. We already said there's 5 days. We say, yeah, because there's the 15th and the 14th. Those are the main day. But the small town people are allowed to come earlier. So since they come earlier, we let them hear the Megillah earlier. And that would be like a soft but. But so one comes Rashi and says, no. He goes out of his way, we were talking about before with sending signals. But he's like waving the signal flag wildly over here. Because Rashi says, Ella Shack Farm. Oh, before that, this is an interesting Rashi that I don't think we're fully going to answer here. But Ami Mike Yeshua, from the days of Yeshua, Rashi says, Begamara Mefarshmo. You know, why is that the cutoff point, the time of Yeshua? Why not the time of the miracle, you know, which happened, in 800-900 years after Yeshua? It'll be explained in the Gemara. So this Rashi, you know, and there's a lot of Rashis like this in Catholic when you're learning, but this Rashi is like a theatrical move. In contrast to the rest of the Rashi, this Mishnah is like, it's almost like, come on, God, be kidding me. This is in the Gemara? Through the whole Mishnah, he's going to ignore the Gemara. He has a little procedure of choice. And every single thing, he brings his own explanation, never quotes the Gemara once. And a lot of things he says are actually going to contradict things that say in the Gemara. And he's going to contradict things that he himself says later in interpreting the Gemara. So everything in this Mishnah is really struggling to comport with what we're going to encounter in the Gemara. And so in this one little segment about, wait a second, why are you going by Joshua? Why are you going by Yeshua? You should be going by the time of the miracle. He goes, there's a Gemara about it. Leave me alone with this stuff. This is Gemara. I'm just trying to explain the Mishnah. So it's just fascinating when you learn the whole Mishnah to take this piece in the context, what he's surrounded with, everything, ignoring the Gemara, contradicting the Gemara, a lot of stuff going on. And this one detail, like he isolates it. And so I'm just saying, it takes on a theatrical element to it. It actually enhances all the other Rashi's because you think, this is in the Gemara. Okay. Now, everything else, I'm going to explain it to you. All right? So he says, Elishai Kvarm, Makdiva Liyam Maknis. So we saw in the Mishnah, said, but, it says, 15th is the walled cities, 14th, small towns, big towns. But, the small towns have an exception. But again, it didn't seem that shocking to us. The Ella, the word Ella means but there are, yeah, different levels of but. You know, there's some drastic buts, and then there's sort of mild buts. You know. I have a cold, but it's going away. All right. I went to college, but I'm not as a student. Like, what? You know, that's that butt is doing a lot more service than the, so Rashi says this. So Rashi singles out this L on this butt. Says, oh, this is a big one. Koyma. Now Koyma is this key, is this clue that he looks in the rules of Rashi. When he starts with Koyma, meaning so to speak, Koyma, so to speak. When he introduces his remarks with that, he's saying, you got to really pay attention to this. This is a real important piece that I'm throwing in here. So he takes the Ella, which again, as I say, we would have read it much more softly, and he says, Kalima, that means like this. That really is a big problem in this Mishnah. He says, Me'acha Shambu Kafu Karmat Tesvo. You just explained to me that the walled cities read on the 15th. Rishayim Mukaf and Karmi Yadal. And then unwalled cities, no matter what size they are, read on the 14th. How do I call it before? We're done. Everything is included in those. You set up a system with walled cities and unwalled cities. So that's it. Isn't that, what else is there? You know, the desert island. I mean, what category do you leave out? You covered everything. So if you covered everything, so now we're in a quandary. Sue. So then, at this point, Heichi Mishkachas, you know, if you beg to do more, where are you finding 11, 12, and 13? Where did that come from? You covered everything. Ella, but there's a special clause over here. Shach Forum, that the small towns, to which we already mentioned the small towns, we said 314. But there's a special clause. So I'm just saying, so this is something that Rashi is doing kind of voluntarily. I mean, he obviously seeing indications that he needs to do it. But it's not really the intuitive reading of the Mishnah to make this big of a noise in the middle, because it seemed to flow. And I think now we already answered the first question of why he says, come on. That later is going to be explained. And we said, come on usually means later, much later. Or later if there's some kind of return. And that's why that first Rashi is to alert you to what he's going to say over here, that, you know, to catch this point. That I'm not reading it the simple way. The simple way, again, is to read 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 is the walled cities. 14 is the unwalled cities. And the small towns have the option. The small towns aren't really locked into the 14th. They're really fluid, depending on when they come from town. So it didn't. Rashi says, no, that's not the way to read the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is the Mishnah created a quandary for itself. It said 15th, 14th, and it covered everybody. It put the small towns into the 14th. It didn't have to do that. It could have said big cities 15th, small towns, walled cities 15th, big cities 14th, small towns, it depends. That would have been the normal way to write this. Small towns, it depends. If it works out that the day that they come to town anyway is the day of the 14th, so might as well they can join them and then. And if not, they come whenever the day they come in. And so, in essence, in what sense are they even really in the 14th? The Mishnah created a quandary for itself, I think. The small towns are on the list for the 14th. But, so that means, it's not that the small towns have a different date. Is that there really are two primary dates, 15th and 14th, and then there's this secondary system where these unfortunate people who are stuck in the small towns, we're going to make a special dispensation for them. And so so this Ella really, the way Rashi is reading it, is drastically reoriented the Mishnah, because it's not that there's really 5 days. There's really 2 plus 3. And it's the two main ones, and then there's the three that are in the special category of the disposition. So already, we're getting some answers here. I mean, they're not full answers. What they're answering, at least to what Rashi is doing, they create new questions in their life. But or at least we're starting to see a pattern. What's he trying to bring out here? That he's saying that this is what's going on in the Mishnah, is that we started with a 5-day list, but we don't want you to come away with the impression that these 5 days are equal in some way. It happens to be a total of 5, but it's not, they're not an equal category. There's two days that are the real days, and even the small towns that have the dispensation to read earlier, it's not that they don't have their own day. They're on the list of the people who read on the 14th. And then, so they have that category as their, it's still their main category, even though, how often are they reading on the 14th? Every 50th year. According to this breakdown, it's only when it happens to work out that the 14th hits on Tuesday, on Monday or Thursday, so then they're reading on the same day. But don't think it means that they read on the day they come into town. No. They read on the 14th. There's a dispensation that when they come into town. So therefore, Rashi turned this butt into a hard butt, that's the thing, and not a soft butt. that he said, no, that they're using Ella to paint a shining line between the two categories, which they didn't have in the original list. The original list seemed to equate them. And now it's saying, no, and the breakdown. And that's part of why, again, why Rashi said before, like, come on, later they're going to explain, because he's saying, just be alert that the explanation is going to reorder and redefine what's going on here. And because it's not the same impression you get when you see a list of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They sound like they're equivalent. And we say, no. Later they're going to break it down. And when they break it down, they say, don't make the mistake of thinking that the guy in the small town, when he reads on the 13th or the 12th, that's his day. No, that's not his day. His day is the 14th. He has a day. Same as the guy in the big town. But there's a special dispensation. Now Rashi's going to spell it out. So he said, they gave them permission. So that's a very key language here, permission, because it's a special dispensation, like I said before. It's their permission. Now, when you actually get into the laws of it, do they really have a choice? Can they say, skip it, they'll read at home? It's not so simple. But at this point, he says, it's a permission. Special permission. Lahakim kriyasa liyamaknisa, and he to make the reading earlier. Now he uses the word that the Mishnah never used the word lahakim. We pointed out, it didn't say emakdim veemakim. The Mishnah avoided the word by saying not less and not more. It avoided that word lahakim. Lahakim is this special Hebrew word meaning to do something before it's time. So Rashi introduces that, that's his verb that he brings in. He says, it's lahakdim that, remember, they always have 14th as their natural day, even the small town. But they're given permission to do it earlier. Liyayim HaKnisa, to the day that they come in, Yom Sheni B'Shavah Shelefnei Adav, which would be either Monday before the 14th, or Chamishi B'Shavah, or Thursday before the 14th. And why do we call it the Yom Knesset? Why are we calling it the day of entrance? So he explains like this. Shakfar, Wisconsin, Shu Yom Knesset, that's the day of entrance. Shakfar, Wisconsin, La Yoras, and Mishma. Because people in the small towns, they enter the big cities for court matters. Because you get all kinds of disputes between people. You're in a small town, you don't have a real judicial structure built in the small town. You're not big enough to have the type of rabbi or the type of a group of rabbis that can sit and settle financial matters, things like that. So what they do is, when they get into a fight over money, they say, all right, we'll settle it Monday in the big city, or settle in the big city when we go to town and we go to the bed. The rabbinical court. And the rabbinical court in the big city sit on the second and the fifth day. Now, it's, what comes first, the cart or the horse, that might be part of the reason why the big cities choose to sit on Monday and Thursday, because that way they can service everybody that comes to hear the landing. But without, at least from where we come from now, it's the other way around. It happens to be that the court sit on Monday and Thursday, and there's a tight system getting stupid that brings the Gemara on Monday and Thursday is the day of judgment, somehow intrinsically. So, but whatever it is, the fact is the court took Monday and Thursday. Ketakonas Ezra. Rashi said this is something that was instituted by Ezra, who brought the Jews back. He was the leader that brought them back for the Second Temple. And he made a series of laws, most of which are ignored regularly in the streets of Jerusalem, like, you know, you're not allowed to wash your dirty water out into the street. Right? It's constantly violated. You're not allowed to build with any things poking out of the building. You go in, Meir Sharon, the holiest place, you know, they have things poking out of the building. So for whatever reason, the laws of Ezra that he instituted are honored more in the breach than in the observance, if I can use this, a little Shakespeare in there. So, but the fact is that these are laws that he put into place, at least for the duration of the Second Temple. Apparently, they're assuming they don't continue, which is kind of sad, because they're really... And all his laws are designed to make the streets beautiful and to not have garbage in the streets. And you could definitely benefit from instituting these laws today, but for some reason they're choosing not to. I don't endorse any of the reasons. No one has convinced me yet that it's a good idea. I think they should be following what he did. But and this is just a little editorial comment on the subject. So one of the things he made is that you read the Torah on the second and the fifth day, as we attend shul, we know what they read the beginning of the next week's reading. You know, enough for Cohen and Levi and Yisrael to get an Aliyah. And we read it on the second, third day. Now, also notice over here, even for this, Rashi didn't bring a Gemara. They have to put in the parentheses there to help us out that it's the Gemara Bava Kamma. But Rashi doesn't say Bava Kamma. That's all inserted. So, as I'm just showing on the earlier point, it's fascinating. He doesn't quote any Gemara saying this. Whatever he throws at you, he just tells you, except Yeshua, that you got to look in the Gemara. So, again, this is very odd. It's fascinating. You know, it's a theatrical element. I mean, it's really a literary element, but he's constructing, you know, where to emphasize, where the important concepts are concealed. Well, I mean, not concealed, but where to push to find the depth of it. So he says, "V'hakforim ena b'kiyam likras." He says that the people in the small towns, they're not capable of reading the Torah. They don't have it. They don't. So he makes this assumption. Some of the earlier commentators challenge him, but this is his assumption that the reason why they have to come to the big city for learning is because they don't know how to read properly. They need someone from the city to read for them. So Rashi structures it in this following way, that the Chachamim didn't bother them to come back. They're coming anyway Monday and Thursday, and that's something that they do week in and week out. And they go to shul, they hear the reading of the Torah. Right? Even if they daven at home before they travel, but they don't say they're davening there, but they come and they hear the reading of the Torah. And if they have any unsettled disputes, they get online at the rabbinical court, which apparently worked a lot faster in those days than it does today. If you try to push a case through the rabbinical court today, it is like molasses. But that was the structure, that was the lifestyle, pretty fascinating lifestyle, and it was people who lived, they wanted to live with the Torah, but they were, to think about it, they didn't know enough to read the Torah properly. Not that complicated, if you have a mitzvah, you know, it shouldn't be that complicated. But the studies are very simple people, but they wanted to have their financial affairs be honest according to the Torah, and when they hit a snake, all right, we'll go in Monday, talk to the rabbi. I mean, it's a rabbinical court. Now, three rabbis. So, so he says that since they come in Monday, Thursday, right to the court, So, and the rabbis do want to force him, now I got to come back again on the 14th day to hear Megillah, and I have to come a third time this week. Too big a hassle. So they said, you know what, why don't you take care of it on the day you come in? And so how do you get to these 3 days? Because Palmer Shemek needs to be a Gimel. Sometimes the day they come in is the 13th. Well, Palm should be out, and sometimes it's the 11th. So in the Rashash, one of the commentaries, he says that many were bothered why Rashi leaves out the 12th. So whether it's a question or not is debatable. It may not be a question, but of course, we've been harassing Rashi enough. We can let him off on this one. Because the 13th is the latest one, the 11th is the week, it has a range, it goes to the 13th at all. But what I think is the more critical observation of this Rashi is that he doesn't differentiate between the 3 days. When you get to the Gemara, you see that the Gemara says that the day of the 13th is really works somehow differently than the 11th and 12th. Then he's ignoring that piece for sure. He says, it could be the 13th, it could be as early as the 11th. And so the Chacham said, well, we're not going to bother people to come back again on the 14th. They have to come 3 times this week. And so they didn't bother. Now, this Rashi is going to contradict like the second line of the Gemara, which we'll see when we get there. But, so this is a fascinating idea it's a doubly fascinating idea. One is that you can, a thing that's based on a date, you can say, oh, we're not going to bother you to wait for the right date. So how does that work? I mean, is this a date that's eligible for reading or is it not? It's a funny rationale. The rationale is, I don't want to bother you to wait. Yeah, but the mitzvah, the holiday of Purim is the 14th. The mitzvah is to read on the 14th. Like Pesach, if you think like if you said to someone, well, listen, Pesach, it's inconvenient for you to, take off from work from the 15th of Nisan, and plus the hotel doesn't have any room, it's sold out, so you know what, it won't be much, you will make 3 days earlier, you will do Pesach. Why not? What's wrong with that? You're doing all the same observations, you make a statement, in terms of your children, you'll teach all the same messages. It won't bother you, you can do it early. I mean, it's a funny idea. The thing is, it has a date. We all grew up in post modern America where they said, Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, which used to be February 12th and 22nd. They said, the Monday around that, the Thursday around it. So the Imamish took this idea of the Mishnah now, the Yom HaKnis. It has to be around Monday and Thursday, you got the weekend, So that's it, we'll do that. But it's a funny idea. So, and the way Rashi explains it is like, well, you treat them, they didn't bother them. And then earlier he also used the word Rishus, he gave permission. So these are like these very non-legal types of language that he's using here. He doesn't say they instituted a system. He says they didn't bother them. They gained permission. It's a very funny idea. But at least it follows with Rashi's earlier setup, which is that these days, that's why there's this whole hard bust in the Mishnah. But because these are not the same quality days as the 14th and 15th. And even the guys in the small towns, their actual day is the 14th. We're just allowing them to come early. So that's why he has all this laissez-faire language, which is almost like non-halachic language. I mean, we didn't bother them. We allowed them. It's funny language for a thing that depends on the day. Okay. But one thing is clear. He didn't quote any Gemara in Megillah about this. He's telling you he knows all this information, a lot of information here. He knows all of it on his own. He didn't even quote the Gemara Bava Kamma that says that's when he reads Monday and Thursday. He knows everything. We know no problem. Except for that Yeshua Ben Nun thing with the laws, that you need to go on. Right. So now let's read the rest of the Mishnah and see how it goes. Now, by the way, this Rashi itself is going to contradict the Gemara. And again, I used up a lot of time laying this out, because I didn't structure it like a usual Shia, where you hit the kashas hard at the beginning and then try to develop the answer to the wonder. I'm doing it backwards a little bit, where I'm taking the kashas slow, and then the answer's not going to get, it's going to get short shrift. It's not going to get enough time. But I still think that educationally, I'm trying to show the discipline of really encountering each word, each phrase, understanding the development of the context of the structure. And so that's, I'm making that judgment call to put more effort on the setup than on the, you know, the denouement, as they say in the theater. Okay, so the Mishnah goes on, and let's run through this quickly. So we're only going to do a very few lines in the Gemara anyway. And the Mishnah, but we let's do the Mishnah and a few lines in the Gemara. So the Mishnah says like this. Chalis Yudal B'She'eni, if the 14th falls out on Monday, so we haven't seen yet the 13th, 12th, and 11th. We've only seen the 15th and the 14th. So this is, well, if the 14th comes on a Monday, Kvarim Vayaretz Gedolos Kvarim Vayaretz. So then, the big cities and the small towns, the villages, they're all reading on the 14th. And the walled cities on the 15th. Like, exactly like we told you before, nothing changes. What about Chaliyah for Shlishi and Rabi? But if the 14th is Tuesday or Wednesday, so now you got a problem, because the guys from the small towns can't read for themselves. They only come into the big towns on Monday and Thursday. So, and we're not going to bother them, we decided. So therefore, the solution is Kvarim Makdim Liyam HaKnisa. So the small town guys, they do it earlier. When they do it, on Monday. So Monday will either be the 13th or the 12th, depending if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. It's the now we added the 13th and the 12th. So remember, we went forward 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now it seems like we're going backwards. Pretty smooth. We did 15, we did 14. We threw in the hot Ella, but we're still going backwards. And we said, oh, okay, so here's the case of the 13th and the 12th. Either Tuesday or Wednesday, the guys from the small towns come Monday, that's the 13th and the 12th. By Yaris Gedolos, the big cities, Karma Grand, read on the 14th. Makafet Chaim Elamacha, and the walled cities read the next day, which is the 15th. Chalais Bechamishi, if it comes out on the 5th. Yeah, by the way, again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but part of the oddness here is that not only did we tell you which Megillah it is, but we never identified the holiday of Purim here. There's nothing here to even say that this has to do with the holiday of Purim. Between the Megillah, it's nothing independent. So, and by the way, you can't even tell from reading this Mishnah, when did these guys make the party? Let's say the guys who let them read earlier, but they still make the party on the same day as everyone else. Maybe yes, because the Mishnah said they really have to do the 14th. So you have guys having the Megillah one day, a party, a different thing. It's not clear here at all. They're not even going to. So the Mishnah goes on to say, Chaliyas Bechamishi, what if the 14th is on Thursday? And again, we have no reason to move the small town guys back, because Thursday is the day to come anyway. So again, it's like Monday. Kvarim Vayaretz Gedolos Kvarim Vayaretz, the small town guys, the big town guys, they read on that day Thursday, because it's Chaim Lamacha. And the people in the walled cities, they're coming the next day, which is Friday. Chali is Erev Shabbos. What if the 14th hits on Friday? So now you have a problem, because the guys in the walled cities can't read tomorrow, which is Shabbos. And we'll see, why can't you read on Shabbos? Well, Rashi will deal with it, but this is a premise here. You don't read Megillah on Shabbos. Okay, so we have to deal with it. So how do we deal with it? So we say like this. Remember, the 14th is Friday, which is the day you can read. The 15th is Shabbos, which is the day you can't read. So what do we do for the guys in the big city? So here's what we do. Kvarim Makdim Liyam HaKnisa, the small town guys, the village guys, they're reading on Thursday, because that's when they come into town. But Vayaretz Gedolos U'Makafet Chaim HaKarim Vayaretz, both the big cities and the walled cities end up reading on the 14th. The big cities, because that's that day. The walled cities, because they're stuck, they can't read Shabbos, so they join the regular big city. Chali is b'Shabbos, so we still haven't found the 11th yet. We have the 13th and the 12th. Chali is b'Shabbos, What if Purim lands on Shabbos itself, the 14th day, lands on Shabbos? So then, Kfarim by Yaris Gedos, my demon, the currently on my knees. So now the Mishnah says a thing that really rattles our kids. It says that, remember, we let the guys in the small towns do it on Thursday, because they're coming in anyway. But now the guys in the big cities should be reading on Shabbos. We won't allow them to read on Shabbos, so then why don't you move back to Friday? And we say, no, you know what, we'll move them back to Thursday too, because anyway we'll have the small town guys do it. So we'll shift the big town guys 2 days backwards to Thursday. It's a very funny idea. And Rashi conveniently ignores it over here. Rashi has been explaining all kinds of details. Ignores probably the biggest bombshell in the whole Mishnah. So it says, and then Sunday, the 15th, that's when the wall cities read it. They have no reason to move them. Chaliyot Achra Shabbos. What if Purim comes out, the 14th day comes out on Sunday? So now, Kfar Magdim Eliyahu Maknitsa, you move the guys from the small towns back to Thursday when they come into town. And that this Thursday is already 3 days before Sunday. That's how you got to the 11th. So the Mishnah actually stuck pretty well to this idea of going, starting forward and then going backwards. And they made the 11th the last case. The last case is that if it's Sunday, then the small towns are going back to Thursday. That's the 11th. Ayaris Gedos, Kerber, the Yarn. The big cities are reading it on that day, Sunday. Because it's time of the Machan. The wall cities read it on Monday. Okay. Look at the Rashi. Chala Bosa Lias. My clock is ticking down really fast now. Chala Bosa Lias, Mayor Shabbos, Ayaris, Machan, Yarn, Kerber, the Yarn. Rashi says, why when it's on Friday do you have to move the Walled City guys back to Thursday to Friday? So he says increase the Megillah on Shabbos because we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos because there's a decree that maybe the guy's going to take it by hand. It's a very vague rashi, so I'm not going to expand on this today, but this is covered in my sefer. But this rashi is again totally in contradiction to the later Gemara, because the Gemara brings one opinion that it's not because of this, it's for different reasons, that has to do with poor people. And even the one who says that it has to do with something of violating Shabbos says because we're afraid he's going to carry it in the street, which Rashi here eliminates, and he uses language that doesn't even clarify that. He makes it sound almost like that he's bothered even by it being muktzah on Shabbos, because he doesn't even get to the idea of you carrying it in the street. And so again, but he doesn't quote any Gemara, doesn't quote anything. That's the thing. The only one Gemara he sends you to is for Yeshua. You don't need any Gemara about this. Yeah, you don't read on Shabbos. It's there. If we have a decree, we don't read on Shabbos. It's a problem if you're handling it. The Imtaimar, and then he asks the question. The Imtaimar, is he going to have Yaakra Makafa and Acha Shabbos? He says, maybe what we should do is we should take the Walled City guys. Why are we putting the Walled City guys on Friday? Together with the Unwalled City, there's the whole idea, the whole Megillah structure that the Walled Cities and Unwalled Cities are reading on separate days. And here you got them all reading on the same day. Why are you doing that for? Why don't you push the Walled Cities forward to Sunday? So he says, no, Avalei Tezayin. That would be the 16th. Omakra, Avalei Yavre. The Pasuk says that it shouldn't pass. So, and this again. This is clearly a thing that you need the Gemara for. Because if you're just reading the Megillah, this is not a simple reading. It's not everybody when they see Vloyavra, it shouldn't pass, means you can't wait a day to the 16th. It means it shouldn't pass. You shouldn't go a year without observing the laws of Purim. But so this is on the level of Drasha, which is rabbinic, analysis, special reading of hints in the text. It's not an open text. And Rashi casually says, so first of all, he didn't have to ask the whole question, but instead he imposed this question, and then he says, no, I have the answer. The answer is the pasuk says Layavra shouldn't pass, which turns out is right when you get to the Gemara, and the Gemara brings that, the Gemara does bring that as the point. But the question is, this is not such a simple thing. This needs the Gemara. Why don't you tell us that it's in the Gemara? No. I'm just showing you how he's got this whole pattern. But he's got answers for everything under the sun here. And he's even asking side questions, Vim Timer, like Tyson usually uses Vim Timer. It's like he's covering side questions, got all kinds of things going on. Doesn't need the Gemara for anything. He knows all the information. The Gemara Bava Kama was reading Monday or Thursday. He knows all the information. The only thing he doesn't know is Yeshua. That's what he needs the Gemara. It's very fascinating. So then he says, here's the list, Rashi. Chali Sachar Shabbos Purim Akimel Yom HaKnitzah. If Purim is after Shabbos, which is Sunday, so then if the 14th is after Shabbos, so the Purim, the small towns go back to the last entry day, which was Thursday. So that's already 3 days earlier. Have a Yudal. That's where you have 11. But Tfei by Mishkachas La Yom HaKnitzah Shel Fnei Purim Mokdimoy. And it's not possible to have an earlier Yom HaKnitzah. Why? The Yom HaKnitzah, Yom HaKnitzah, Yom HaKnitzah. He says we have a rule that they only allowed you to go back one entry day, but to go back two entry days, you know, to go from one entry day back even further to another entry day, that much they're not going to allow. Which also this Rashi is, we're just out of time, but this Rashi is completely extraneous, problematic. Contradicts the Gemara later. Rashi says the point is that Rashi made this whole universe of his own here. No Gemaras. He knows all the answers. He's got time to ask side questions and answer them. And what's going on? Okay. So again, I have very little time to unroll this, so I'm just going to really kind of zip through it. So the Gemara begins like this: Megillah the Christ be Alf Menor. Gemara says Megillah right on the 11th. How do you know that? So it says, Manolan work. He starts to start like, you ask me, how do you know it? Could it be the lame man will come on? Like, we have to say later, Chacham Mikil Alakfar, Lees Magdim Liam Akrisa, Kadeshi Yisafku Mayim Amoz Malachem Shemakrachim. Later, we're going to have a Gemara later that explains that the reason why they made this dispensation, that these small town people should come in and have the Megillah read earlier, is so that they should then be available to come back on the day of where the big city celebrates Purim, and they should be able to do business. They could come in and sell their food, their water. So the Gemara says, "Oh no, this I'm not asking you. No, I meant to ask something different. So I'm not even going to go beyond there. I'm going to stop right here. Just." Time constraints, but I want to get to the main point. So, let's read the first two Rashi's, and I'll explain to you what's going on here. So he said, Rashi says, "Hachi Rashi, this is the way to read it. Menolan, you're asking how do we know that you can read it on the 11th? Menolan could be very come on. The reason is because I can explain later. Rashi says, "Hachi Purusha, this is what I mean. Menolan the Yudalef Yud Beis Yud Gimel Chazal Kriya. How do you know that the 11th, 12th, and 13th are eligible for reading the Megillah? The Yudalef Yud Tesvav with the Siv recorded. In the actual verse only records 2 days, 14th and 15th. The Kamahad the Gemara. So that's the first question. The Kamahad the Gemara. So then the Gemara challenges back. Menolan Bitzniyah. I don't understand. You're asking, how do you know? What's the problem? Hailat Chaybi. What do I need a source for this? This is not an obligation. This is a dispensation. And so here this whole thing Rashi introduced in the Mishnah of the dispensation, he brings it back and forth because he says that's really the basis of the question. What do I need a verse for? I need a source for this? I shouldn't need a source for this. It's a dispensation. So he's assuming that that's within the powers of the rabbis to provide this dispensation. Okay. So then the Gemara says, but when the Gemara challenges and says, how do I know it? What do you mean, how do I know it? Like we say later, because the Chacham set up a system for the guys from the small towns to be able to sell food to the guys in the big towns. Rashi says, because they use Shiyispiku. Shiyu Pnuyim beyond Purim. They should be available on Purim. The haspik tzarche through this Purim of Nei Hayar. They should be available on Purim so that they could sell the needs of the Purim Suda, the Purim meal, to the people of the town. So now, right away here, before anything else happened, the Rashi drastically contradicted himself, because the Rashi gave us the rationale in the Mishnah. He explained to you, why did they make the dispensation? The dispensation is because they, first of all, he says, we don't want to bother them to come. So he's telling you they're not even going to come. One line into the Gemara, the reason why we're letting them off the hook is so they should come back without having to worry about Megillah, and they should be out there selling to us. How did this happen? Without the Rashi, you would think that this is what we saw all along. But Rashi introduced an earlier reason, which he's letting the Gemara on the first line negate the earlier reason. So this is a fascinating trouble, that he dug himself a ditch. Why did he do this? Earlier he said, oh, the reason is because we don't want to bother them. How many times in a week are they going to come in? And then the Gemara says, no, the reason why we're doing it earlier is to help the guys in the town, and to help these guys, and to help the small town guys make money, because they will come back on the day of the reading, but having read it already, so they don't need it. They could be out there in the street selling while everyone else is reading. This is shocking for a thing to happen in the first line, the way you're contradicting the way it's doing. And so that's why, briefly, because we're at the hour mark already, virtually. So, briefly, so this is the concept here. And this is extremely important educationally all around the Talmud. So Rashi does this again and again and again. And I even use it as a proof when I argue that the commentary in the Durham comes from Rashi. And some people challenge me on it. So I use this completely counterintuitive proof where I say, yeah, but the Rashi in the Durham in the Mishnah contradicts what he says in the Gemara, and that's Rashi's style to do that. So I'm actually using that as a general principle. That, you know, Rashi has this idea that the way learning goes is you have a starting point, and you have to have a sense of the Mishnah before you get to the Gemara, and then the Gemara comes along and starts challenging what we had in place. So Rashi will, and by seeing how the Gemara challenges it, he's alert to how to set up the initial reading. So in other words, he's creating this whole alternate reality of a person learning this Mishnah with a certain amount of knowledge, because he brings this knowledge from Bava Kama, and things he's not going to say how he knows it, but we have a certain amount of knowledge. And in this piece we figured out already, we figured out that the loyaver, the person who says shouldn't pass, means he can't do it a day later. There's certain, you know, he lays out for you saying, this is sort of the initial reading of the Mishnah. And then, when the Gemara goes after it, we could revise that reading one line later. One line later, we're revising the reading, at least partially. And it's to say, it's a much longer subject, and even in my in a published piece that's in my existing Sefer HaMegillah, which I hope to reissue now, a second volume, updated, and could use all the support that the donors would be able to give to be able to do that. But I hope to do it shortly, even in the next month or two if possible. But the idea is that structurally, the way the Gemara works, and again, I don't think anyone besides Rashi has this idea. I don't think Tyson's the Rambam, maybe the Rambam, because he doesn't show you how we learn. But the other commentators that show you how they learn, they don't have this concept. So this is a tremendous, it's a big part of my life's work that I've invested in developing this, which is to understand what Rashi's doing, and it's a tremendously, it's not just like to answer the Rashi, you know, oh, it's the problem with the Rashi isn't the answer, it's much more than that. It's a whole structure of how we present language first, we react to the language initially, our initial reaction to the language, and then when we go from there, we're always challenging that. We're always challenging our initial reaction to the language. And very often we end up reversing ourselves at certain points, and so you may end up sometimes at the end of the Gemara where some initial interpretations that seem to fit the language better, sometimes we have to, we have to sacrifice some of the detail in the language to get the correct interpretation of the law. But so here, but this is one of the most stark and dramatic shifts where Rashi shows you. He himself explains to you in the Mishnah that the reason why you need them in town, you don't need them in town. You're doing them a favor because they come 2 days a week and Lima and they bring all their legal cases and it's a good. We want to encourage that. We want to encourage people to live according to the Torah. Something we want to eliminate the inconveniences that are involved in that. So we're encouraging them and then let them stay home on the farm. And then the Gemara goes, no, just the opposite. We want them to come back and Purim and sell to us in the big cities. So, and this later Gemara's about it, you know, it's not for the big cities or the small cities. But this dramatic counterpoint over here, where I think I was, that the Rashi is setting it up with the hot, we start with the hot Ella. We have this idea that, and we have this idea that, hey, the real days are the 14th and the 15th. There's some dispensations that the rabbis made, and we're not even saying that they have a different date. That's what the Gemara is going to end up all challenging with the man of the great assembly, and they instituted things, and you can't undermine it. That's where they end up challenging. But we're actually saying the real starting point, the natural starting point, is that we have this idea that you know it's not that big of a revolution to say come a few days earlier. And I think part of that is hinted at by not mentioning the month of Adar. That's part of what you're getting. That really the observances are related to the month. In Judaism, we have Kiddush HaChodesh. We sanctify each month, and the holidays are included in the month. And in the Megillah, it even says HaChodesh HaShenepas. The month is transformed. So the holiday is really in the month. And once the holiday is in the month, so then yes, we'd like to narrow it to that specific day if we can, and we have this cue in that you can't go after the 15th. All right, but we can go back. So if we go back a few days, there's some limits to it. We're not going to go back, you know, from one entry day to another entry day. That's a limit that we see as a natural limit. But other than that, not a problem. We're going to give a break to these guys. They come in anyway. Not going to force them to come back. And then immediately the Gemara immediately challenges us. Now I just want to say, where's the cue that the Gemara is challenging us? Because the thing is very interesting. This is the last total point, and we'll end with this. But that because the Gemara in Megillah decrees Yudalef Manola. Megillah is read on the 11th. It doesn't give you the whole list. 11, 12, 13, 14. It says Megillah is read on the 11th. Because the way we originally read the Mishnah was. No, you saw what Rashi did structurally. It says 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We're not really analyzing it yet. Problem is there. Yeah, sometimes this. We're not really going into it. Now, but we're common to fresh revival. But now we're going to change things and really understand it. And the way we're going to really understand it is show you is these two main days and then these three sub days that for sub people, you know, who are in these little towns that we have to take special care of. And so, and in that system, the real reading is backwards. Even though you wrote it forwards, but when they laid out the laws, it really actually goes backwards. The 15th is the Chashuv, people from Yeshua Benon. The 14th is the regular people. And then the Nebuch people, they have the other days. And so we're going backwards. But the Gemara asked the question, says, Megillah is read on the 11th. Where does that come from? Because the Gemara is starting with introducing the premise, no, I'm not going to buy that. I'm not buying that the 11th is some, you're not a real day. The mission says five dates, and you're going to tell me, you two real ones and three fake ones? I'm not buying that. So the Gemara challenges, rather, you're reading forward. You're trying to convince me to read backwards. But, you know, from the list, and then we go backwards. No, my inclination is to read forward. And if you read forward, the 11th has to sell itself. If the 11th is the sub of the 15th, that's how you wrote. So therefore, the Gemara challenges by creating a different perspective. And then, that new perspective is the starting point, and we're analyzing from there, and all of a sudden, everything shifts character. by Karm from this new perspective. And to the extent where even when he's challenging him and saying, "Whoa, what are you challenging me for?" It's an open thing later that it's a break for the guys for the small towns. They didn't even challenge it by bringing Rashi's original place. Even the challenge is already retreating a little bit. They're trying not to retreat too far, but they're retreating a little. They're saying, "Well, all right, you know, I hear what you're saying, but it's a little problematic why we have these three sub days. But even those sub days are for the benefit of the guys in the big cities, because they're going to come back and they're going to bring food to those guys. And so it's really all about the big cities. And so it's not so much of a sub day, you know. It's pretty much of a regular day. It's we're still taking care of the city people. And so we're shifting as we're retreating backwards." We're trying to not give up all the territory. We're trying to do a partial retreat, and then the Gemara goes from there. No, that's not going to work. And it proceeds from there. So, I didn't get back to cover every detail. I made a calculated decision to spend more time on the questions. So I think educationally, you could try. You know, if you contact me later, you have some details you want to work out. We could talk, but I think in the educationally, it's very significant to really be on the case and see linguistically what are they introducing, how are they setting it up, how is that influencing the outcome, and then when we start shifting, what's making us shift, how are we shifting, how are we responding to the problem. And I think this is that was something I hope that we all could benefit from this year. Shkaya.
Thank you.